This is Andrea Chase, and I'm talking with Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright, co-writers of Shaun of the Dead, a zombie flick that isn't afraid to quote Night of the Living Dead and Bertram Russell, among others. Directed by Wright, Pegg stars as the eponymous Shaun, a North London guy having a bad day that gets worse when zombies start ruining the neighborhood. It's also a love story, a comedy, and a trenchant study of the dynamics of the modern family structure.
Yeah, we like that.
Nice appraisal.
Very nice.
Thank you. Production numbers in, too, some musical interludes.
There is a production number, though. There's the Queen scene.
That's true. When
they kind of, like, fight the bartender to Queen. There's the opening credits, which are all choreographed to the music, so that I'd say there's two showstoppers in there.
That's true. Why is it that Queen is just the right music to fight zombies by?
It's just such an uplifting track, the Don't Stop Me Now. It just seemed at that point, you know, Shaun is really up to speed and they're in the pub, and even though everything's going completely wrong, it's sort of this oddly, I guess it's bathos, you know, you've got something terrible happening but set to this wonderfully buoyant piece of music. Mm. I mean, it was Edgar's choice. Edgar's a Queen fan more than I am. I do like Queen. I mean, what's not to like? But you chose that track, didn't you?
Yeah, because I wanted to stress that it was a non-ironic use of Queen. That it wasn't kind of there just for a sort of like a cheap laugh. I genuinely love that song. And then actually, once we'd written that in, we were kind of listening again to Queen's Greatest Hits, and that's where the idea for You're My Best Friend, the end credit song, came up as well.
One thing I really like about this film is that even though civilization as we know it is coming to an end, everyone is still dealing with their regular problems, obnoxious roommates and relationships going bad, and that really is the central theme of the film. Talk a little about that.
Absolutely.
Well, we just wanted to get across that idea that, you know, even in the face of catastrophe, the minutiae of your life doesn't change. You remain frightened of cats or whatever, or you don't stop hating your neighbor, you know. Those things continue. Even the world is caving in around you. There are certain things which remain intact, and that's very much the way it is with Shaun. You know, he still has the same enmity with Liz's friends, and he still has the same problems with her and with his best friend, and I just think that's really interesting. People don't automatically become superheroes. They have to work at it.
Also, one of the inspirations for the script was that a lot of horror films of this ilk are about strangers thrown together, and the thing that we really wanted to do with this film is examine the dynamics of what happens when a zombie epidemic happens to a group of friends and family, people who've known each other for years, and how that impacts on all the relationships. So that was definitely a conscious effort. Also, not to make a left turn in such a way that as soon as the horror element comes in, it forgets the setup. We wanted to keep all of the threads of the relationships and the comedy going right through to the very end. So it's probably is more of a romantic comedy than it is a horror in a way.
What is it about zombies? Why are they so much fun? And why are they so much fun in a romantic comedy?
They're just a great movie monster because they're so strange and that they're very inept and not really driven by any sort of evil force. They're just us. They can be very allegorical. I mean, in Romero's film, they meant everything from sort of consumerism to, you know, vivisection. And in our film, they really represent the kind of condition of city living and the idea that a human being can become lost in the collective and just turn into a zombie, you know. So they're great for that reason. And they're just also, it's a classic movie monster, and there can be lots of them as well, which is great.
And there's a good strategy aspect with zombies, because you have to kind of figure out exactly how you're going to get from A to B. That's our favourite thing in Dawn of the Dead, is the scene in the mall where they're kind of trying to figure out how to clear the mall of zombies, and just the strategy element. So zombies are great. Slow zombies are great. We were talking about it yesterday, actually, that 28 Days Later kind of like is let off the hook by the fact it's not really a zombie film, it's about a kind of a virus. But Dawn of the Dead, the fast zombies in that, we were kind of saying that it should be called 28 Coffees Later. Because zombies should not run. It's not right.
they need to be sort of dumb but focused, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just very intent, you know, they're kind of like lava. They just keep creeping towards you all the time. You can't get away from them.
Or like a tidal wave of porridge.
Yes. A lovely thought.
That perhaps in the sequel.
Yes.
Night of the Living Oatmeal.
Shaun of the Oatmeal. There are a lot of physical demands on you, Simon, in this film. Mm. You get hit in the nose with a packet of nibbles. You have to wield cricket bats. And I understand that on location, you were actually egged.
Oh, no, the unit was
egged. I was
egged. It wasn't me. They didn't single me out.
I think they singled out the director. They thought, that guy needs to take him down a peg or two. Let's throw an egg at him.
But it was quite a demanding film physically. It was tiring, but fun and gratifying.
Simon is very good at doing his own stunts, and I think because we're friends as well as kind of colleagues, I know that I can get Simon to do things that I couldn't ask of another actor.
Legally or with... over here we have OSHA, which is the Office of Safety and Hazard Administration.
Oh, we have it in the UK as well. We just ignore it.
Oh, I see. That makes it just so much simpler when you're making a budget film, doesn't it?
Flagrantly transgress all the laws.
I love it. The scene where you are hitting the nose with the packet of nibbles. I when I was watching it again last night, I was waiting to see like your reaction before it actually appeared on screen, and I couldn't see it.
I think it's because then Nick tried to take me by surprise every time, and I tried my best to keep my eyes open to look as if it was a surprise. So yeah, it's tough not sort of telegraphing a physical impact because you are obviously waiting for it. But I guess, you know, there's probably lots of takes when I blink like a girl.
In a weird way, that was one of the things that both with that gag with Simon, but with the zombies, I mean, the two actors who play the zombies in the garden had to, you know, not flinch because there's a whole scene where they're just getting stuff thrown right at their head. And we had to actually do some rehearsals where we did trust exercises because even though they were soft props, it's still, like, very difficult to have something thrown at your head without blinking. So it was kind of like, A, they were very good at actually sort of one of the more subtle special effects in the film is us taking out blinks digitally, because obviously zombies don't really blink when somebody throws a toaster at their head.
This is kind of a silly question, but one of Liz's flatmates, Liz is, of course, Sean's girlfriend, David, is he supposed to look like Harry Potter?
we said he looks like, there's a book in the UK, I don't know if you had it over here, called Adrian Mole, and it's the story of a teenager. And the latter book of Adrian Mole was Adrian Mole, The Cappuccino Years, and we said that David was Harry Potter, The Cappuccino Years. A sort of bespectacled, yuppie wizard. No, he wasn't, but he's supposed to look really more like Dustin Hoffman in Straw Dogs. That sort of intense, bespectacled kind of rationalist.
Pacifist.
Yeah. No, but well spotted.
One of the other things I thought was really interesting when I was watching it, especially the second time, is that even though there is a little gore in the film, one evisceration that sort of looks like a mosh pit gone
wrong. That's exactly the idea.
What was really creepy and what really got to me were the sound effects of what was going on off camera, like when you're beating a zombie to a pulp, these squishy noises.
That element of the film is so much fun, doing the sound effects. Not only, like, obviously you have ADR people who do the kind of Foley artists who do the sort of the squishing sounds, but then me and Simon actually did some of the zombie sounds ourselves. I remember, like, in that particular bit when they're being beaten to death, I had the flu, and so I was sounding really throaty, and I did the voice of the girl. So I'm kind of literally for 30 seconds in the sound booth going, which is too much fun. It's one of those things you can't believe you get paid to do.
Your voice is in the film in another place too, but you don't actually, do you make an appearance yourself?
I'm a pratfalling zombie in one of the final news montages, and I do a terrible Italian accent of the guy at Fulci's restaurant, and I do the voiceover, the newsreader that makes the jibe at 28 Days Later as well. That's me.
Where do you recruit zombies?
We got a lot of them from the internet. I mean, you know, we went through the usual channels for extras and stunt people and, you know, amputee actors and amputee stunt people. But a lot of them came from the Spaced website, our show and our TV sitcom in the UK. We put an advert out on the website there, and they came in their droves to be zombies, which is great because it swelled the numbers to something like 1,100 extras that we had working on the film. It's just great because it means that it's never underpopulated. Unfortunately, and also, fortunately rather, they worked for very little money as well. They did it for the love of it, which was great. So we basically said, if you want to come along and be a zombie, we can't really pay you that much, but you can hang around on set, you can come up and meet people from Spaced, and we'll all be very nice, which we were, obviously, because they were doing us a great favor. And as a result, swelled the numbers beautifully, you know.
I have two tech questions, and one of them is about the tracking shot you use as Sean is leaving his house to go to the local market. It's this wonderfully long, sweeping...
That kind of came out of, I always wanted to do it in one shot, but actually it became a longer shot because when we were location scouting, the flat that we really wanted to use was in a particular place, and the shop that I really wanted to use in a particular place. And I always wanted to do it in one shot, so then actually... Through that, I was thinking, well, how am I going to fill, like, 2 minutes of screen time? So then through that, we worked out the whole sequence of, like, little details that are in the background. The jogger, the open door, the dog, the shopping trolley, the homeless guy. And so building out all those details. So it was a really nice thing. I remember because I was thinking, okay, I've got to make this 2 minutes really interesting. So it was a really nice thing. And weirdly enough, that was the first day of the shoot as well. It was literally the first shot that we did was when Sean wakes up on the Sunday morning. And then afterwards we did the Saturday version, but me and Simon also, maybe the couple of days before we actually shot it, went down and rehearsed it ourselves so that Simon does exactly the same. If you watch it again, he does exactly the same actions in both kind of shots, not just slipping over on the curb, but like scratching and sniffing and yawning in the same place. So we were really pleased with that sequence, but it was a lot of work kind of thinking of like lots of different things, almost like a Where's Waldo thing of different things going on in the background, you know.
Which is another reason to see the film more than once.
To see it 10 times.
At least, yes.
At least, at the cinema. And you have to present your ticket stubs to us.
Absolutely. How many takes did it take to do that take?
I think it's like 13 takes maybe for the Sunday one and maybe like 8 takes for the Saturday one.
Do you have nightmares about it? Do you it again in your sleep?
Not really. I it was fun. It was the first day, so I was really raring to go. And it was fun coordinating it. It was like a little dance. It was good. Sometimes, you know, multiple takes can be tiring. I mean, we had to do 15 or 16 of the scene when I come out of the flat and I batter all those different zombies before the car turns up, which was on a very hot day. And similarly, the bit when I approached the house and I had to take on a couple of them, that's more time. But you want to get the right, you know, you don't want to settle for an adequate shot. You want to get it right. So, you know, complaining about having to do another take, unless you think, well, I'm spent and I've done my best performance. But then Edgar's looking for the right camera motion as well, and these things have to sync up. So you've just got to bite the bullet and keep going, you know.
I like to push my actors to breaking point.
So you take the Kubrick approach.
Yeah, somebody said that, which I don't know whether it's entirely a compliment or not. Somebody said, oh, you're the comedy Kubrick. I was like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know.
I want to talk very quickly about you and George Romero. And any rumors we can get started or anything you want to talk about?
Well, most of the rumors that we've started have now become facts, which is cool. But basically, we wanted to show him the film because obviously it's like a Valentine to his films and to him as a director. And so we took a bit of a gamble. We thought, well, let's ship him the print, not just send him a tape, let's send him the actual film. So we sent it to his holiday home in Florida and he watched it on his own. And then he rang us both that night, and me and Simon both spoke to him for half an hour on the phone. And it was just kind of the icing on the cake for us. And we kind of thought, well, I don't really care what anybody else thinks of the film now that George likes it. And he gave us a poster quote. So it was really sweet. And we were both kind of like, I was trying to explain to my girlfriend who's in the band, you know, how important it was. And I said, it's like David Bowie ringing you up and saying that he likes your album. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. It was father's approval, which is what we really wanted. So everything else is just a footnote. It was our love letter to George, and he accepted it with a great enthusiasm. So God bless him.
Potentially, in terms of like starting some rumors, he may be returning the compliment to us by letting us be zombies in Land of the Dead, which is shooting in like in Toronto this fall. So no, that would be amazing.
Haven't you already had latex heads?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we were at KNB FX, who Greg Nicotera, who worked on Day of the Dead, which was his first job as a 20-year-old. He loved Shaun of the Dead so much, and he's seen it about 5 times, and he cast our heads in latex, which was a particularly kind of strange experience when we were both quite hungover yesterday morning.
But if you're going to be a zombie, perhaps that is the effect you want to go for.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, it was absolutely thrilling to be completely covered in plaster.
I've always wondered what that was like.
It's kind of like being in a flotation tank or something. It was strangely calming. It was like going back in the womb. It was very weird. I'd never done it before. It was strange.
Altered states?
Yeah, do you know, weirdly enough, when they take out the cast, I said that yesterday, you know that bit in Altered States where it's kind of white, where William Hurtson's white, that's exactly what it looked like.
And I want to ask also about Spaced, which we haven't seen over here, but has cult status in England. When will we see it over here?
Well, there's plans, hopefully. The rights are owned by Bravo in the States and happened for a couple of years, and they did show it once, like in the graveyard sort of shift, slot rather. But there's plans, hopefully, to show it in this autumn in conjunction with the film. You know, there's potential licensing issues with the DVD, but we hope, you know, a lot, it seems like we've met quite a few people in over here who've seen it because they bought the English DVD, and so there's a sort of strange little underground following to it, which is amazing considering that it was never shown here really, you know, which is great.
Yeah, and of course they would have to buy the Region 3 player.
Exactly, Region 3 player, so yeah.
Quite some dedication there.
No, it's cool, it's great.
And in England you're like the object of cult adoration.
Spaced has got a very sort of loyal following, I think, because it spoke to a specific group of people who really took to the show. Yeah, so it has become something of a cult, and it's gained a huge following on DVD as well after it was broadcast. So, yeah, it's nice to be a cult figure, you know. It's a good job that you're not writing this, because that could look like a printing mistake.
Well, it's a responsibility to be the object of cult adoration.
Absolutely. I mean, and also the show is very much about... It has a kind of geek sensibility, you know. It deals with a lot of genre issues, and you know, my character in the film is a comic book artist, and he also works in a comic shop. He's got a lot of interest in science fiction, and the show itself, you know, makes many references to many movies. So the people that enjoy that kind of stuff tend to be very faithful and very devoted. So we are geeks for geeks.
Well, and you reach out to the inner geek in us all.
Exactly.
Simon Pegg, Edgar Wright, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
We're going to now say that the film is a trenchant satire on family values. We're going to nick that one and claim it as our own.
I would be deeply honored if you would do that.
That's cool.